For a minute, a pregnant woman, talk about people don't, have you ever seen somebody just didn't get it? No matter what you did, they just didn't get it. Or sometimes they were talking to you and they thought they knew what you were talking about, but they weren't even on the same page. You ever been there? Well, a woman was pregnant with her third child, and she was stricken with about a morning sickness, and so she laid down on the living room couch to rest. Just then, one of the workmen that was doing repairs in her house walked by and gave her a curious look. Taking a break, he explained, or she said, taking a break, she explained, it is my third trimester. Really? He said, what's your major? Yeah, that's kind of either way. I was like, we're bad. That was from the new book. All right. Isn't God good? All right. God is so, so good. Get your Bible out. We finally hit step number 12. Isn't that good? And over the next few weeks before Thanksgiving, I've been working on some very unusual. I always try to make it unusual anyway, but it's going to be more unusual than usual. Thanksgiving sermons. God is so good to us. Amen. First Timothy or Second Timothy. Second Timothy. Come on, baby. We got this. It's right here. I know it's here because I saw you this morning. I read it. There it is. Second Timothy 1:7. I looked at a poll last night. It said, how many people still use physical Bibles every day? I'm not one of them. I use electronic Bibles. And so when you use the electronic Bible, you're not really flipping pages. You're just going down and hitting the book and hitting and then flipping or scrolling through. And so it does make a difference. I realize that now when I saw that poll, I used physical Bibles. I'll use it in the detention center. But I also use it up here. But during the week, the rest of the time, I'm doing electronic Bible. And it definitely makes a difference when you're scrolling for your books. So everybody got your Bible, say amen. Now, everybody stand for the reading of the Word. Now, before we start, I want you to take your finger. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 and put your finger there. Ephesians. I told you I'm going to put you on a little Bible drill. Ephesians chapter 5 and put your finger in there and hold on to it. Ready? Second Timothy 1:7. Ready? For God hath not given us the spirit or the attitude of fear, timidity, afraid to move forward, afraid to step out, afraid to try that new thing, but of power, dunamis, the ability to do whatever we need to do, and of love, the ability to love the unlovable, and of a sound mind. Sound mind can mean clear thinking, but it also means to think clear when you're under the gun, when you're under pressure. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth. Wow. Sometimes you might miss that scripture right there in it. Look, they say, awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. Stretch forth your hands this way. So ask God for a special touch. And anointed Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, there's nothing impossible for you, God. We know, Lord, that you have got so much in store for each one of us, God, and that we can do so much more through you than we ever could imagine if we would just give it a shot and give it a try. and know that you are there with us. I ask you right now, Lord, to open our eyes and open our hearts, to wake us up, to shake us from slumber, and to wake us from spiritual naps, and to remove that spiritual snooze button. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise your name and we thank you for all that you do for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. Good Lord, look, before you sit down, tell somebody, if you're not hereafter, say it now, you got to say it. If you're not hereafter, what I'm hereafter, you'll be here after I'm gone. All right? Now, I know it's kind of hard. Now, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. 12 steps. This is the final step. Aren't you glad we finally made it through the 12 steps? And remember, you know, when you think about these guys going, I'm going to AA, or I'm going to NA, or I'm going to OEA, or whatever it is, you know, because the 12 steps work in any environment. Because the 12 steps is not just about alcoholics, it's about everybody, and they're wanting to get back to where God wants them to be. Amen? And so today what we're going to talk about is, get ready, living the message. Living it. We're good at telling it. We tell everybody what they need to do, but how about living it? Amen? Honestly, I don't want you to preach a sermon to me. I want you to live one in front of me. Amen? I hear sermons all the time. People think because I'm a preacher, all I want to hear is from them tell me a sermon or tell me something. Well, guess what I learned? And I'm trying to find out how their daughter is or how their job went or something. Well, let me tell what Ephesians said. I know what Ephesians says. Tell me. Let's talk. Real talk. Let's talk. And then tell me how you're doing in your life. And let's see that you really live. I don't care how many Bible verses you can quote. How many Bible verses do you live? All right? And this is what this is about. Wake up and walk it out. How many's ever had a woke up in the middle of the night with a leg cramp? Aren't those things fun? It goes right in line with toothache. So like toothache and leg cramp, they're all kind of in the same kind of deal there. Well, you wake up in the middle of the night with a leg cramp. And what you got to do? You can lay there and writhe and die in pain, or you can get up and walk it out. Amen? Walk it out. So, today we're talking about, as a Christian, we have to, now that you've gone through the 12 steps, the 12th step is walking it out. Not just learning it, but doing it. Amen? I remember when I went through all that training, which is nothing compared to what the guys do now, but I remember back in my day, it was a lot of training that I went through. To be an EMT, and I remember that it was easy. It got to be very easy in there on dummies and on each other. But when you get in a car full of blood and you got people screaming and you're seeing stuff in places it shouldn't be, then let's see you operate. Let's see you do your thing. Let's see you go through and do your stuff right. The same way. You know, it's easy to learn how to counsel people, but you let somebody come to you and tell you things you've never heard before, or they're going through things you've never had any, you can't even believe somebody's going through it, or go to jail, and the place you go to smells so bad you got to put a mask on when you go in there because it smells so bad. Now, that's when you're walking it out, okay? Waking up is, okay, I realize God woke me up. He showed me something in these 12 steps, but now I've got to walk it out. Talk is cheap. Amen? Talk is very, very cheap. We can talk all we want. As long as we ain't doing it, we talk and talk and talk and talk. I want to see you do it. Amen? And I'm laying on the floor and my heart stopped beating. Don't tell everybody how you know about CPR. Do it! Amen? So here it is. Now, go ahead. I'm going to get on through here. Let's get moving a little bit further here. We're going to go through all the 12 steps really quickly. Every Christian is in recovery. We all battle sin, fear, pride, shame, whatever it is. We're all. Don't somebody say every one of us are in recovery. Because the gospel is a recovery story. We're trying to get back to where God made us. How many here can actually say with all your heart can raise your hand and say, I am living the life exactly how God wants me to. I do it exactly by His book and do it exactly how He says, and I never get an attitude, and I never get, I do it like He said 100%. Put your hand up. I said on my other hand, but I fall off this stool. All right. So, the struggle is real. So all we got to do is we have to admit that we're powerless. Amen. We've already talked about that. We've got to believe in God's power. Amen. And we've got to believe that, and we've got to surrender to God's care. We've got to believe that He's got the power, but we've got to surrender to God's power. Amen. Then number four, here we go. Fearless moral inventory. Five, confession to God and to self. Six, readiness to God for God's change. Seven, a humble request for God's help. Do you know, as a counselor and a pastor, and when I go into jails, you know what the number one thing is, and the reason they're in there is because they tried to fix it themselves. When marriages come in, I'm talking to marriages, they leave God out, they're trying to fix it themselves, and each of them's got a different idea of how it's supposed to be fixed, and here it starts. Or somebody, they've got all kinds of problems, and they're trying to fix it on their own, and they can't. And I even asked, I go into heroin, you know, I constantly ask, how many is in here because you lost your temper one time? Too many. Hands go up everywhere. Amen? So again, humble request for God's help, meaning to get out of the way and let Him work. And then the courage to make things right, step 8 and 9. And 10 is we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. So now here we go. We're getting ready to jump in there now. Last week was we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry it out. Now, y'all ready for number 12? Let's go. That's right. I like that attitude. I want y'all to look at this. Don't forget that maybe you are the lighthouse in someone else's storm. Y'all say that with me, because I want you to get this in your spirit. Don't forget that maybe you are the lighthouse in someone else's storm. Wow, that is so powerful. So again, living the message and lighting the world. Living the message, lighting the world. I can't tell you how many guys tell me in the heroin unit and other places like that in jails and stuff, and they'll say, man, you're the only father I've ever known. Or, man, you've just been such a good father to me. And I'm not trying to be a father. I'm just trying to help them. But because they see love and care and compassion and guidance, I hear it weekly. Man, I even had a guy who got out. He got out, and he was someplace else. He was talking about the place where he finally got, and he said, and it blew me away. He said, that pastor where he was at was a good dad like I was. I'd only known him in prison. But people are hurting. They're needing something. They're wanting something. They're needing guidance. They're needing help. They're needing somebody to love them and show them care and love and not just look down your finger at them and talk to them in such a way. But they've got to know that you care. And honestly, until they know that you care, they don't care how. Until they know that you care, they don't care how much you know. All right, so here it is. Wake up and walk it out. So now I'm gonna go through it kind of quickly. So encourage each other and build up one another, just as you are always. I can't even read that thing now. Y'all read it for me. Y'all, somebody read it for me. 1 Thessalonians. Already doing. Now my question is, my question is, are you already doing it? Amen? This is a powerful thought. This is such, number 12 is so powerful. So watch this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Recovery equals redemption. Think about it. Recovery equals redemption. What is redemption? Sometimes redemption is you getting your heart right before God so you're ready to go to heaven. But sometimes that redemption is more like a sanctification getting you ready for earth. Amen? And in order for us to be all we can be for God, we need to be in recovery. And always remember that. Because if I remember that I'm in recovery too, I will not be hard on the man who may be an addict that's in recovery. Or who may be having all kinds of problems. And I think about their recovery, I'm in recovery. I'm trying to get back to what God had given me. Not what I've attained, but what God has given me. And get back the way that I'm supposed to be with Him. So here it is. Step 12. Here's the Great Commission in recovery language. Y'all ready? Get ready. The mission. In other words, you have been rescued. Now you become the rescuer. You've been healed. Now you become the healers. You have been loved. Now go and love. Wow. That is so powerful. Matthew 5, 14 and 16, you are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill that cannot be hid. Let your light shine before others. 2 Corinthians 1 and 4, He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. And they overcame by the word of their testimony, Revelation 12 and 11. Did you know that we carry the message of joy? I watch guys go into pit, wherever, and I see come in, and they don't bring the gospel with them, and they may bring some happiness, but the only people that seem to bring the joy are those that are bringing Christ. That's powerful. Christ is the one that brings joy. And so the first challenge we have, these are going to be challenges. These are all our 12-step challenges. Ready? Number one is the visibility challenge. Remember, we are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. So look, key point, light must be visible. So you can't hide it under a bushel. That word light is phos. In the Greek, that word light is phos. And that's where we get the word phosphorus. Okay, one of the most powerful grenades there is a phosphorus grenade. Because once you get hit with a phosphorus grenade, Dave Reaver, you've seen him before. He's mangled up and had like 120, 30, 300 operations. I don't know. I went to see him in person and talked to him. He was in Vietnam, and was before they had the Navy SEALs, he was in the Black Navy. And in the Black Navy, he was on patrol in Vietnam. And while he's on patrol, somebody throws a phosphorus grenade at him. And he shoots the grenade. And when he shoots the grenade out of the air, the phosphorus landed on him. And he started burning, and he couldn't stop the burning. He went in the water, and he couldn't stop the burning. They thought he was dead. They picked him up and put him on the gurney, and he burnt through the gurney. And he thought this was his end. And while he was laying in the hospital, they moved him over to the United States. While he was laying in the hospital, there was a guy beside him that had been something similar done to him. And he looked at him, and some of his fingers had been burned off. His ear was burned off. His nose was burned off. You know, one of his eyes was burned out. Here he was. He was a mess. And he looked over at his friend who was in similar condition. And he watched that man's wife. He said, what is my wife going to say when she comes in? What is she going to say when she sees me like this and she smells the burnt and the filth of this burn pain and this burn smell? And he said his friend was in the bed next to him, and his wife came in, and she looked at her husband and said, you disgust me. You're no longer even a man. And she threw his wedding ring at him And she walked out. And he said, oh no, what's my wife going to say when she comes up? And he was so scared, he didn't want her to come see him because he just saw what happened when somebody was not a light. And his wife come up, and he tried to turn his head, and she pulled his head back to him best she could. And she reached over, and she kissed his burnt forehead. And she said, I love you, darling. I love you, and I'll be with you to the end. And it said that gave him the strength to fight on. That's some powerful stuff, but think about people in this world that need that. And you could be the one to do that for. So Jesus said we are that discipleship is public, not private. Okay? Now there was a there let me tell you this story. I got this story. I'll put some stories up. There was a woman who had been helped by multiple things, including the fire department, and there's nothing she could do to repay them for what they'd done to help her. So you know what she did? Every Friday until the day she died, she baked cookies and she brought it to that fire department. Homemade cookies every Friday. She said, I can't repay what you've done for saving me, but I can sweeten it. What can you do to help people? What can you do to be the light? Are you like that other woman sitting in the, or the other guy in the bed beside Dave Reaver, who when his wife saw him, said, you're disgusting to me and you stink. You no longer are a man, and threw the ring at him and walked out? Or are you going to be like his wife and kiss him on the forehead and hold him the best way she could and say, honey, we're going to make it together. I promise I'm not going to leave you. Which way? Are we going to be the light, or are we going to show darkness? So, the challenge this week is to share your story. You know what? Every Christian carries joy like confetti. Did you know that? Every last one of us, we carry joy like confetti. You know, when you walk in the grocery store and people see you, and suddenly they're smiling because they know, they feel you sprinkling hope to them. Share your story, be God's confetti, and you make a difference wherever you go. You see, step 12 begins with an awakening. Let me put it back there. There you go. Step 12 begins with having a spiritual awakening. Listen carefully to me now. It's not just emotional relief. See, how did they come in church and we saw God do something for them, and they go out and it's like nothing ever happens because they experienced emotional relief? That's not what God wants to do for you. He wants to transform your heart. He said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, Christ will shine upon you, Ephesians 5:14. You see, spiritual awakening means we see things differently, we love differently, we live differently. Amen? Think about the caterpillar and the butterfly. A caterpillar doesn't just improve, it transforms. Did you know that? When that thing's going through its metamorphosis, when it's going through its transformation, that caterpillar literally turns to a liquid form. So everything it used to be is gone. And now everything becomes new. Does that sound familiar to what Jesus said? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. The butterfly doesn't, or the caterpillar doesn't just improve, it transforms. 12th step is about living as a butterfly, not crawling as a caterpillar anymore. Amen? People need to hear your story. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Please listen carefully. I had it up there and I took it down. I should have put it back up. Your story, listen carefully, your story is someone else's survival guide. That's so powerful. So now, the next challenge. Isn't this good stuff? People use duct tape to fix anything, but God used nails. Amen? So here it is. Practice your principles everywhere. Consistency challenge. James 1 and 20 says, do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. So the key point in all of this is faith must produce action. Faith is not passive. When you see faith, it is never passive. It always creates action. Amen? Now, here's another story. Actually, this could be my story. A man said, I used to lose my temper in traffic. That could be all of our story. Now I pray for the person who cut me off. Sometimes I pray that they get pulled over. You know, when 17 was just being built, and that great old big 17 coming in onto the regular 17, going down the Possum Track, they would go from 65 to 55, and those patrolmen had them a good time for a long time down there. And I was going along, and I was slowing down. And there was a guy got behind me, and he acted like his coattail was on fire, and the nearest water bucket was 10 miles down the road. And he was behind me flipping his lights and all kinds, and he was just going crazy. And I was doing good. I mean, you asking about rides with me, I aggressively followed the speed limit. So I was aggressively following the speed limit, and this guy was making me look like I was Granny Clampett. And he went by me so fast, I think he pulled some paint off my door. And I said, save me a hose when you get there. Bethany just laughed. I said, matter of fact, get ready to get your pen out. And we rode down the road about a mile, and guess who had their pen out? Yes, sir, officer. I won't do that again. Here's your ticket that reminds you. I'm sorry, Lord. I did say, Lord, save me a hose. And I did say, Lord, let him get stopped somewhere or another to slow down. I didn't necessarily put it in words, okay? All right. So now, here's the challenge. Live your principles at home, at work. And here's the hard one. In conflict. It's easy to live it at home. It's sometimes easier, sometimes not, to live it at work. What about when you're in the heat of the battle? Like I said about DMT, the first time I come up on a wreck and I saw stuff that I'd never seen before, and I saw blood that I'd never seen before in places I'd never seen before. And all that training, all those many, many hundreds of hours I trained, and all that stuff I'd worked, and all that stuff I'd seen in videos, and even being in the emergency room and watching stuff done in the emergency room. But when I actually got at that wreck and saw that, I had to stop for a second and say, hey, calm down. You've been trained. I'll let your training kick in. It's easy at home, especially if you're by yourself. What about when everything you think is going right goes wrong and you're in the middle of it and you're trying to fix it and you can't fix it and it's still persisting? It's at that point, are you really prepared to do what we've been talking about, all those other 11 steps, because they will help you. So practice principles everywhere. Not just in safe places. Amen. I can guarantee you there's people in here that everybody's got a safe place, but I guarantee there's people in here right now that goes into a lot of places that's not safe. But you got to trust God when you go in those places. I love that His scars cover yours. Wow. That is so powerful. The next challenge, Love with agape, the agape challenge. John 13, 35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Not how good you can preach, not how many Bible verses you can quote, not how many times you got your little award, perfect attendance awards. No, it's by loving one another. And here that word is agape, which means unconditional sacrificial love. Jesus says love is the apologetic of the church, meaning it's the explanation of the church. You want to see love, you see the gospel. I happen to see, here's the key point, love is the evidence of discipleship. I happen to see a story, I read a story not long ago. I thought we'd go good here. I read about a pastor who kept chickens. And every now and then, one would escape. And he'd run through the neighborhood trying to catch his chickens. People would laugh. People would cut up. There goes that crazy preacher going out for them Sunday dinners again. Chasing them chickens. He'd scoop it up and he'd bring it back. And he'd look at the people that were laughing at him and said, "This is how God loves us." He chases us down. He scoops us up. And he never stops chasing. Amen. His love is relentless. Amen. Agape is like a bottomless soup pot. No matter how many bowls they serve you, it just keeps coming. So the challenge. Here it is. Last one was pretty hard. This one's even harder. Love someone hard to love this week. As soon as I said that, somebody flashed in your face. Didn't it? I just hope they weren't here. Love someone who's hard to love. This is your assignment this week. Amen? What I found out is, it's like Abraham Lincoln. Somebody said, "That guy's going after you. That guy's attacking you." And you know what he would say? "I got to get to know him better. I got to make him my friend." Amen? Amen. So, the next challenge. Just look at that. There's not a picture of the hand on the other side. You know why? Of the person. You know why? No, not because it's the Lord. Guess what it is? It's one of y'all helping somebody else. How many times you reach out and help somebody get up? You help them move. You help them in so many different ways. So, when I think about Brother Wayne and the stuff he does with the children, Children's Hospital, he's doing that all the time. I think about Brother Doug, Brother DC, stuff they do in the fire department and rescue squad and all that, EMS, they're doing that all the time. The guys that are going to the prison ministry, they're doing that all the time. But I hope that you're also doing it with your neighbor or with somebody you may see on the side of the road or in a parking lot. Hope you're doing that same thing. So now, comfort others creatively. Here's your creativity challenge. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says again, he comforts us with all of our in all troubles so that we can comfort others. The key point, here it is. God brings you comfort so that you can comfort. And that word comfort is parakleo. Parakleo is similar to the Holy Spirit's Greek. The Holy Spirit's Greek is parakletos. Okay? God that is called along beside us to help us. Here's parakleo, which is now it's down to us. God's called us to go come along beside somebody to strengthen them and to encourage them. You know, there was, here I love this. These are some good stories I saw this week. There was a man who God had done so much for him. God had delivered him from drugs, alcohol, had delivered his marriage, had delivered his children, God had done so much for this man. So he wanted to pay back in some way or another and give agape out to the neighborhood. He wasn't a minister. He couldn't go to the nursing homes. He just couldn't do that. He couldn't go to the prisons. So you know what he did? He started a free lawn mowing service. And his motto was, on the side of his truck, and look, he mowed people's lawns for free. His motto was, I can't fix your life, but I can fix your yard. That is so awesome. So the challenge is find an unusual way to carry the message and to carry that God loves somebody. Spring in, show them something, do something to show them that they are loved. Amen. And one more challenge. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or scared of them. For the Lord your God Himself is He who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6. The next challenge, the last challenge, is step into courage. The courage challenge. 2 Timothy 1:7, where we started. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The key point here is God replaces fear with power, love, and a sound mind. Think about it. He wants to replace your fear, with power, love, and a sound mind. Not just my fear, your fear. And you'll find out when you're afraid of something and you start moving toward it, God will replace that fear with power, love, and a sound mind. I would not recommend moving toward a rattlesnake or a lion. But there's something in your life that you need to move, you're scared of, and you just won't take that step. Maybe go to the doctor and get an exam. Maybe it's going to the dentist. Maybe it's something you've been avoiding. God replaces that fear with power, the ability to get up and do it, love, the ability to love the unlovable, and a sound mind, the ability to think under pressure. So here it is. Here's the challenge. Get ready. His challenge has been getting tougher, ain't it? Ain't it? That's the fancy word of saying ain't it. That's the plural of it. The plural possessive of ain't is ain't. Okay. Here it is. Step into a conversation or a situation you've been avoided. I sat down with Simmer for a while. Fear, timidity. God replaces timidity with power, dunamis. Love, agape. He replaces that timidity with the ability to love that person or that thing. And sound mind, again, is thinking under pressure. Trust God to give you clarity under pressure. Courage is not an absence of fear. It's obedience in spite of the fear. Amen? All right, here it goes. I told you that was the last challenge, but there's one more. Have you ever gone to the store and forgot to pick up something and you said, I forgot to remember? I forgot to remember. But now it's time to re-remember. God's not giving up on you. So now, here it is. Multiply the message, the multiplication challenge. Matthew 28:19-20. Go and make disciples of all nations. That word disciples, or go and make disciples, means not just to go once. It means to keep on. That's not a one-time deal. It's a lifestyle. You keep on making disciples. And sometimes, look, you need to preach the gospel everywhere you go. And sometimes, if you need to, use words. Amen? So, discipleship is ongoing. And the challenge is mentor someone. Pass on what God has given unto you. And then endure with joy. The endurance challenge. Ready? Hebrews 12:2-2 says, let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Endurance means steadfastness under trial. Joy comes when we look unto Jesus, not unto our circumstances. Amen? So now here's the challenge. Keep practicing step 12. even when it's hard. What I have discovered over the years, for the most part, it didn't always work, but for the most part, if I found myself having continual trouble with someone, I would get to know them. And sometimes it was so hard, but I would get to know them. And once I got to know them, I'd ask God to show me what makes them tick that way. And I'd ask God to help me help them rewind their clock. And it's always worked, with the exception of a couple. It's worked a whole lot more than me just walking off from it. Get ready. Closing recap. Church is not something we go to. It's a family we belong to. Here it is. Ready? Be visible. Share your story. Be consistent. Live principles everywhere. Be agape-filled. Love the hard to love. Be creative. Comfort in unusual ways. Be courageous. Face fear with faith. Be multiplying. Disciple others. Be enduring. Keep shining with joy. Do this, and you're going to see amazing things happen this week. DC, come here and play something, please. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. I may not can remember every Bible verse. I may not be able to remember every principle that I learned in all those years of psychology and still going through counseling training. I may not be able to remember all those principles. But I don't need a degree to show God's love. I don't have to be power-packed to reach down and love someone that's hurting. Again, thinking about Dave Reeves, his budding in the bed next to him, his wife saying, "You disgust me, you're no longer a man," and throwing the wedding ring at him, said, "You disgust me," and walked out. And his wife coming up and kissed him, saying, "I love you, honey, and I'll be here no matter what. I got you." One was conditional love. The other was agape love. Let your light shine. Let people see it. Let them know that God has his hand on you. Let's pray. Everybody stand up. We're going to pray. Read this with me. We're going to read it. I wrote it so you could see it. And say it with me. Lord, fill us with power, love, and a sound mind. And make this church a lighthouse of recovery, redemption, and hope. Everybody bow your heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody in here with every head bowed, every eye closed? The first thing you would say is, "I'm not sure that I've really given everything over to God. I'm not sure that I haven't given myself to Him like I should. And I can tell it by the way things are shaping up in my life. And I want to change that right now. The first step of recovery is admit you're powerless. I can't do this anymore on my own. I got to have help. God, you got to help me. But nobody looking around, every eye closed. Would you put that hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I can't do this anymore. I can't. I just can't. I cannot. I've got to have your help. Maybe you're here today and you see the 12 steps and that they're not just for the alcoholic, they're for everybody. And you say, God, you got to help me because some of these steps are hard to live out. You just said, you just challenged me to live them out, and I'm not sure that I can. That hard visit with that person that's showing love to somebody that I really don't want to be used by you in places I don't want to be. And I need your help with this, God. Oh, I'm good with you, but I'm not so sure I'm good with all this because it's hard. I really need your grace and your help. But nobody looking around, every head bowed, would you put that hand up and say, I need help with this. I need help. I need help. I need help. And we're going to pray. I want y'all to pray with me. Father, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son into this crazy world where He was hated and despised, but He still showed your love. He's our example, Lord, of the 12 steps. Help us, God, right now. First, we dedicate our life to you. We rededicate it to you. Secondly, God, help us follow the example, the great example of Jesus Christ. And to know that we don't have to fear. We can have power and love and a sound mind. I ask you right now, Lord, to rejuvenate me, to rejuvenate us, and let our light shine in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it right now. And we're believing, Lord, that after today, our lives will never be the same. Help us to be more like you. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen. God is good all the time. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brandon to dismiss us in prayer. Okay, ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.